the half dozen or so people that I interviewed, at least two had seen propulsion system components. Now, the interesting thing here is that I wasn't motivated to make any of these kinds of inquiries until I had been told about this so-called mm-hmm. alien reproduction vehicle. I mean, that for me at least suggested that this might be a reality. So I thought, well, okay, well, let's look over in this other area and see what we can find out.
That would do it for me.
Well, but the odd thing about it, George, was that several of these abductee claimants were describing propulsion system components that blow for blow were almost identical in shape, size, relative size, and configuration as what you see right there in the ARV. And these were in other types of vehicles. I mean, you know, not everything in the way of UFOs, you know, are flying saucers. Some of them are sphere-shaped. Some of them are like cylinders or the so-called cigar-shaped UFOs. And in every case, the components that they were describing usually involved a large central column with some kind of a device that was spinning around it. In some cases, the column was even spinning in the opposite direction.
Spinning's very important in
yes.
all this.
Well, in this case, counter-rotation seems to be one of the keys. But the thing that I found interesting, too, was that if you go back through the UFO literature and you look at some of the accounts, especially some of the things that were recorded by Jim and Coral Lawrenson back in the 1950s and 1960s, you find that there are certain specific materials that come up and recur over and over again in the allegations of crashed UFOs, material that is dropped from UFOs that appear to be in trouble or shooting off sparks. And there are two things that we see often, magnesium and mercury. Now, as it happens, one of the witnesses that described this propulsion system said that mercury was one of the key components that was used inside this central column that is actually inside the secondary windings of a very, very large Tesla coil. Now, for some of the audience who don't know what a Tesla coil is, if you've seen any of the old Frankenstein movies where they have these lightning bolts shooting around Frankenstein's laboratory,
right.
Those are sort of a kind of Tesla coil. And what it really is it's just a way of taking a certain voltage of electricity and you create a kind of an open air transformer that steps up the voltage but drops down the amperage. And so you can get lightning bolts that look very dramatic, but in some cases, you know, won't even really harm you. You know, the components that some of these abductees were describing were so similar that, you know, I begin to think that this was, you know, really a legitimate claim. But the thing that convinced me more than anything else with regard to the so-called abductees was the fact that they actually had artifacts, if you will, that were not only visible on CAT scans and MRIs, magnetic resonance imaging type of scans, but in one case there was a young lady who had devices that had actually been implanted behind her eardrum that more or less seemed to be replacing the little tiny bones that go between your eardrum and the inner ear. The so-called tympanic bones were replaced in at least two cases on this one individual over the course of about 4 years. What was interesting in that case was that the young lady actually also claimed to be or have been abducted by the military, undergoing a rather grueling examination of just about every part of her body, and in the process went through a really brutal interrogation that left bruises and abrasions down the back of her throat, and they actually wound up damaging one of these auditory implants. Within the following 6 months, the so-called aliens came back, abducted her again, not only replaced the damaged unit in her ear, but put in a second one in the other side. And the reason I know this is because she had gone out and purchased, before any of this had happened, she had gone out and purchased a professional quality otoscope, this little, you know, flashlight thing with a little cone on it that the ear, nose, and throat doctor would kind of use to look in your ear and check out, you know, the health of the eardrum and that kind of thing. What most people don't realize is that the eardrum is so thin, it's like a cellophane membrane. It's translucent. You can see through it. And if it's wet, it's almost like a piece of glass. And so, you know, I looked in this young lady's ear, and I could clearly see, in the latter instance, what appeared to be something like a small metallic, sort of a hockey puck shaped disc sitting on its edge behind her eardrum, and clearly appeared to be completely replacing the tympanic bones. And in fact, one of the things that she recounted from her military abduction was that overhearing a conversation between a couple of officers in this underground facility where she was taken in the high desert of Southern California, that if they remove this thing, it would certainly permanently impair her hearing. She would probably be deaf from that point on, but it may well kill her as well. And so they opted not to do that. But apparently the aliens were able to replace it after it was damaged. And when I looked in her ear to see exactly what the methodology was that they had used, you could see three spiral cuts that ran down the ear canal leading right up to the eardrum, where they had obviously sort of literally screwed some kind of a mandrel into, or guide, if you will, into the ear canal to very carefully channel whatever surgical instruments were used to go in and replace this device. Now,
amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Stunning, stunning, absolutely stunning. But one of the other individuals that I spoke to had claimed that in the early 1970s that she had been, as a young girl, had been on the way to a ballet lesson with her mom, had a missing time experience, and then began to have sort of a recollection of what had happened. And she described the approach of a kind of Saturn-shaped UFO that came out of the west right at sunset, managed to stall all the cars at an intersection where they were sitting in a light, and then a beam of incredible white light came out of this disc and rendered the entire right half of her parents, her mother's car, transparent. And she said that there were these three little individuals that looked like sort of a puffy little Casper the Friendly Ghost type of beings with big black eyes that came walking over and said, "There's been an accident. We need to take you to the hospital." And they pulled her right out through the metal of the car like it was water. So, you know, I asked her, "Well, you know, how do you know that this really happened?" She says, "Well, I have these implants that show up on the MRIs." And I said, "Well, now how were these put in?" She said, "Well, I woke up inside the craft laying on a kind of soft, what looked like a metal table, but it was pliable, just like a rubber cushion."
So for a guy like you who's been involved in real hard science for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
all this is not new to you. To me, you sound like you're a believer now.
Well, I wasn't in the beginning, buddy. I'm now. And you know, for me, George, this, you know, I really had to wrestle with this because, you know, I mean, hearing these stories, you know, seeing a couple of these deep scars in the roof of this young lady's mouth where they literally just pressed these two little spheres right through the skin and the roof of her mouth into the lower part of her brain cavity with no anesthetic, I might add.
And she's okay.
Yeah, I mean, but she, of course she passed out, but these things are there. You can see the skin. In fact, she showed me the scars. I could look in there with the flashlight and see them in the roof of her mouth, and it was very clear what they were, you know.